Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, and welcome to the Sky U podcast by the Daily Gopher. I'm Chris, Go A U Fur. With me this week is Andy, Gopher Guy 05.
Hello, hello.
Not haunted by ghosts is Blake, Iowa Gopher.
It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
And Ustreet.
Hey, y'all.
Well, as far as I can tell, the Minnesota running backs are still running all over Maryland right now, and that's all we have to say about that game. Moving on, what made us all laugh this past weekend? I think the easiest pick out there on the board is probably Penn State absolutely pooping the bed against Brett Bielema and Illinois. But I'm interested to see what else might be out there for humor. I'm going to turn it to Blake first.
I mean, it's tough to beat Penn State, Illinois. They went to, was it 9 overtimes?
Yeah, but it's that stupid new overtime where they do like 2-point conversions after the third OT.
But still, the fact that it was 20-18, I mean, it won, I think it was 10-10 at end of regulation. I mean, how does that happen? That's insane to me. How do you lose to Brett Bielema in his first year at Illinois? I guess Scott Frost did it, so I guess.
Yeah, until Illinois finally scored in, I think, overtime 8, they were combined 0-14 on 2-point. They basically from the 2-yard line. Both teams ran 7 plays from the 2-yard line, and not one of them could get in the end zone.
Good Lord, I don't know how you top that. That's just Penn State. I think, and I've checked in on Black Shoe Diaries to see how they're doing. They're in total despair. I think their Big Ten power rankings this week, Penn State is ranked 14th, so they're taking the loss pretty well.
I noted that after the Bowling Green loss, they had moved us to 13th, which even for the Bowling Green loss felt a bit low.
We've climbed back up though, so it's come around.
Oh, completely. But like, I mean, Illinois and some other teams were still, you know, in the conference at that time. Even with the Bowling Green loss, I think 13th was a bit harsh. Andy. I mean, sticking with Penn State as well, or did something else give you the giggles?
I think I got to stick with that one. I otherwise was a bit out of the loop this weekend, and so, but sitting in the seats watching the start of the Gopher game and paying attention to that on my phone, it was hilarious to just watch the complete ineptitude and the fact that it kept going and going and going. And at one point we got very, very close to the Huntington Bank scoreboard showing the quarter number being higher than the point total that either one of the two teams had. That was pretty bad.
Street, how about you?
Nerds. Kansas, Oklahoma. Nothing was funnier than Kansas, Oklahoma this week. There was an extended period of time where Kansas, 1-5 Kansas, was about to knock off the number 3 team in the nation.
Also, didn't they open up the door?
It wasn't particularly close. Yes. In the third quarter, the entire city was informed that the stadium was open. It was free to get in and just like, please come. And once that was announced, Oklahoma promptly scored 28 points and ended up winning 35-23. Also cheated in order to get a key first down. They didn't cheat so much as like the refs screwed up on that front. So that was hysterically funny. The whole thing was really funny because everyone is trying to like keep pretending that Oklahoma is a top 3 team, which is they are not. But again, my general view on the season is nobody is very good at football. The other thing that was amusing would be App State beating Coastal Carolina, so ruining another G5 possibility on a last-second field goal for the upset. That was amusing, though perhaps not so amusing if you were a fan of Coastal Carolina. Are they just Chanticleers? Is that Coastal Carolina? We're missing Zips.
Yeah, Chanticleers.
Yeah, Chanticleers.
Yes, I don't know what a Chanticleer is, but I know it's whatever it was sad.
It's a rooster.
Yeah, well, so it definitely was not, like, greening the sun the next day. Those were the two things that I thought were funniest over the weekend. The Penn State-Illinois game was sort of funny in the ineptitude, but it, like, it was kind of like watching a bad movie that wasn't bad enough to be amusing.
I'd like to also extend an honorable mention to Purdue, who has now lost the last 15 straight games to Wisconsin, and managed to break their longest streak of weeks not being ranked in the AP poll and immediately pooping the bed against Wisconsin. Wisconsin, incidentally, did nothing but run the ball, and Purdue apparently didn't bother to try to stop that. So,
well, I mean, I love that, like, the top 25 is in such a disarray this year that they're like, oh, this team beat someone in the top 25. They should be in the top 25. And then that is right now is the criteria to be in the top 25. If you either already didn't lose or didn't lose badly enough, or if you want to be on the outer layers of the top 25, you have to beat a top 25 team. And that's criteria enough.
Unless you've lost to Bowling Green.
Unless you've lost to Bowling Green.
But we haven't beaten a top 25 team either.
But technically,
that is true.
Purdue, well, I was not ranked at the time, but they were ranked after we beat them. So, I mean, take from that what you will.
For a very short, beautiful moment in the sun, Purdue was ranked.
What a glorious, glorious moment that was for them. I'm sure they're feeling wonderful about it right now. Well, obviously, Ask Blake a Hockey Question has been a new part of this season of the pod. But I've been informed that if I ask Street a Northwestern football question, he will not be able to answer it. And so I'd like to turn it to you, Street, and say, can you name the defensive coordinator that has made all of Northwestern want to, you know, just absolutely commit seppuku?
I have literally no idea. Is it Jeff Fisher? Did he get hired by Pat Fitzgerald for some reason?
No, it is not Jeff Fisher. Would you like to take another guess?
Bill O'Brien. Perhaps the reason they dislike him is that he's actually not a very good offensive coordinator, and he was put by Pat Fitzgerald on the defensive side of the ball and has made it worse.
No, that's also not it. It's Jim O'Neill, who took over for Mike Hankwitz. And
neither of those people are real.
Northwestern fans wish Jim O'Neill wasn't real, because they are extremely pissed off about how Northwestern is playing defense this year. Typically, of course, the strong point of Northwestern football. Northwestern football exists with a decent to good defense and an offense that shows up once every 2 or 3 years. This year they have neither. So,
do they have a transfer quarterback this year who was like a 4-star at some school and then everyone realized that he actually wasn't very good and so he transferred to Northwestern? Is that the quarterback cycle this time?
Yes.
He's still there, but he's also not playing, right? Am I right?
No,
they've got another one too. They've got a new one.
They've got – so Hunter Johnson was from Clemson. He started the season as a starter, but now South Carolina quarterback Ryan Helinski has taken over.
I didn't actually realize he was another transfer. I'm glad they're picking up all these transfers that actually.
Well, isn't he a double transfer? Didn't Helinski start at Washington State, then went to South Carolina, and now is at Northwestern?
Yeah, you're right. He's a three-timer.
So what I'm taking from this, I know we're about to go into a preview for someone who at least ostensibly claims to know some things about Northwestern, but what I'm taking from this is that no one has any clue about anything related to Northwestern football.
I know some things, okay?
I mean, if I have to be really honest, I realized as I was about to ask you the question that I didn't know the answer either, and I had to Google it quickly while, you know, you were talking, so.
It's going to be really depressing if they lose on Saturday, then.
All right, Blake, tell us about Northwestern. Do we care about any of them? Should we be worried in any way? If we're not worried, how distraught should we be if Minnesota loses?
I just want to interject that we absolutely should be distraught if we lose to Northwestern, and we should be worried because Minnesota lost to Bowling Green.
He's taking my points now. That was going to be my point, is like we have to worry about every game because of the Bowling Green loss. There's no overlap.
I'm not so much asking should we be worried, I guess. Maybe I'll clarify. What about them should worry us?
I'm not. That's a tough question as well. I mean,
you want to say nothing because you want to say nothing, but we lost to Bowling Green.
It's true. I mean, offensively, Northwestern's in a pretty bad spot. I mean, coming into the year, they lost their quarterback Peyton Ramsey, their top four pass catchers, two stars on the offensive line, and then the first game of the year, their starting running back Cam Porter was out for the year with a leg injury, so they're hurting. I mean, for them, it all starts up front. Their offensive line has just not been very good, either in run blocking or pass protection. I mean, their leading rusher is a sophomore Evan Hull, and he has like 640 rushing yards. Over half of those have come in two games, and they were against FCS, Indiana State, and Ohio.
You missed the hashtag one of us there, by the way. Evan Hull is a Maple Grove, Minnesota native, so that narrative will be all over Saturday as well.
That is correct. We'll see if he has any fortune against his home state team. To his credit, bro, he broke loose on a 75-yard touchdown run against Michigan last week. That's really all he did in that game, so hopefully he doesn't do that again. And then as we mentioned, Ryan Helinski is their starting quarterback. He's been pretty so-so. I think he started the last four games for them. He's completed about more than 50% of his passes, good for him, but only three touchdowns. It's an open question who he'll be throwing to. Their top receiver, Stephon Robinson, left the game Saturday with a lower body injury and did not return. And Pat Fitzgerald, obviously comes from the same school of thought of injuries as PJ Fleck and said, well, you'll find out on Saturday if he's going to play or not. So, if he's out, they've also lost their number three receiver, Bryce Kurtz, to a non-contact injury. He's out for the year. So, expect a lot of targets for Malik Washington, who is second on the team in receptions and receiving yards. Everyone else is a distant fourth, fifth, sixth. So, yeah, not a ton of firepower on this offense. And I think the only Big Ten win they have is against Rutgers, and they scored 21 points in that game. Every other game they've been held. Nebraska held them to 7 points. Michigan held them to 7 points. And then I think Michigan State, they scored a fair amount. But that was a season opener, so then it doesn't count. And you flip to the other side of the ball. Defensively, Northwestern ranks 122nd nationally in run defense. They've allowed an average of 218.3 rushing yards per game. As you mentioned earlier, they lost their veteran coordinator, Mike Hankwitz. He'd been there for like 13 years. So it's a big change for them. They also came into the year, they lost all but four starters on defense from last season. So this unit probably bears a striking resemblance to the Minnesota's defense last season. Just a lot of inexperienced players stepping into starting roles and struggling with, the basics of just assignments, communication, and honestly, poor tackling. If you look at their track record, they've given up 326 rushing yards to Michigan State, 427 rushing yards to Nebraska, and then 294 rushing yards to Michigan. So I don't know if you saw Minnesota's game plan last week against Maryland, which was run the ball. I would expect they probably have a similar game plan for Northwestern based on just past history of Northwestern's performance this season. They do have an okay secondary. They rank in the top 30 in the country in pass defense, but I honestly don't know if that's just because the teams are just running wild on them, which I think was kind of the case for Minnesota last year. They ranked fairly well in pass defense, mostly because people just like ran wild on them. So I don't know how much credence I put into that. They do have a pretty good safety, Brandon Joseph. He was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year last year, had six interceptions, and he's tied for second on the team in tackles this year. Koko Azima, their other safety, had a good game against Michigan, had 10 solo tackles and forced two fumbles. So they've got a couple playmakers at safety, but this is a very green defense and obviously very loose up front. It's very likely that this is going to be a big game for Minnesota's offensive line, if the offensive line we've seen in the past few weeks shows up to play.
Well, what I'm hearing from you, Blake, is essentially that if they lose to Northwestern, this loss might actually be worse than the Bowling Green loss, because Minnesota has improved since the Bowling Green loss, and Northwestern honestly doesn't seem like they're that much better than Bowling Green. So, in other news, I'm not actually going to be all that worried about it, because I think this team has improved since Bowling Green. The Sky U podcast is proud to be sponsored by Homefield Apparel, the good brand. You've heard us talk before about how excited we were to get them as a sponsor, and we continue to be excited because as fall approaches, they have restocked their crew neck and hoodie sweatshirts. There's a Sweet Script Minnesota sweatshirt out there right now waiting for you to pick one up. If you have not already shopped for the first time at Homefield Apparel, make sure to go to homefieldapparel.com and use code DAILYGOPHER at checkout for 15% off your order. It's not just Minnesota gear. There are sweet stickers from all sorts of historic logos across NCAA. I have a Tulane Green Wave sticker that I've had my eye on that I got to go pick up. Whatever it is, make sure to get over to homefieldapparel.com, find it for yourself, feel good in it, look good in it, and enjoy every moment with your new gear. That's homefieldapparel.com, code DAILYGOPHER. All right, well, I'm going to turn it back to Blake for a second and ask Blake a hockey question. Blake, I'm not even going to ask you for the results. I want you to see if you can remember, given that it was previewed by Andy during the last podcast, who did the Minnesota men and Minnesota women play in hockey last weekend?
I saw the results from the men, I think. If it's been played, I saw a result from the game. I can't remember who it was, though. The women's total, that's a total loss. Shit. Who was that? Yeah, I don't know. It's not Andy's fault, it's mine.
You were on the podcast when Andy talked about it.
I don't retain information very well.
Okay. Well, the men played Duluth and the women played Colgate. And Colgate was a big game because Colgate was ranked number 3 in the country. Minnesota was ranked number 4, and the women got a sweep. The men, on the other hand, not as great.
I knew it was a toothpaste, and I knew the other one started with a D, so I was close. I didn't know if it was Crest or Colgate, and I didn't feel confident picking one or the other. So,
Andy, you want to walk us through what happened, your opinions on what happened this past weekend, and then take us through what's coming up?
Yeah, you covered it. It was the women got the best performance of the weekend, going out to upstate New York, taking on number 3 Colgate, and coming home with the sweep. Gophers get a 5-3 win on Friday, 3-2 on Saturday, bumping them up to number 3 in the nation this week. It was going to be a big weekend. You know, the first time a team from the West had played a team from the East in 2 years with this much on the line, and Minnesota went and proved the WCHA's superiority over the Eastern teams. They got what they needed to do, improved to 8-0 against Colgate all time. I think Minnesota's now won, or is undefeated at least, in either 20 or 21 non-conference games, which is pretty impressive considering they played some decent non-conference teams over that time. So, it was a big weekend for them, getting those two wins, and now they'll swing back into the conference play. They stay on the road, though, heading up to Bemidji for a series Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon up there. Bemidji on occasion has been sort of a horror show for the Gophers. They should beat them. They have significantly more talent. Bemidji is very not good this year. But that arena up there does some weird things sometimes, and the Gophers have struggled occasionally. So,
to be fair, hold on. To be fair, usually when they struggle, it's because Bemidji has a good goalie, though, right?
Admittedly, that has something to do with it. But Bemidji's already lost once to St. Thomas this year. They're not really very good at all. So it should arguably be another sweep weekend to make it 3 in a row for Minnesota before they get next weekend off. So hopefully they can get that win and compare wins and keep moving along on the path they are.
Well, okay, so we have got good news coming for us with the women. What do the men have coming up?
Pain, suffering, pestilence. Oh, I no. We'll just have to wait and see. It's not been great. Unfortunately, the Gophers played a home and home against UMD last weekend and got swept by the Bulldogs, losing 5-3 in Minneapolis on Friday before a 2-1 loss up in Duluth on Saturday. More struggles from Jack LaFontaine. He did not look good in the Friday night game against Duluth, gave up a couple of really weak goals. He's not been the same goalie at all as he was last year when he won the Mike Richter Award. He's really struggled quite a bit this season at times. And obviously that's shown in the Gophers' record. Is they're, you know, they've lost now three games to St. Cloud and Duluth and sit at 3-3. Not where they ideally would like to be. You know, they still are ranked highly in the country as they're losing to, you know, arguably top five teams in the country, in St. Cloud and UMD, but it doesn't help the both the pair-wise when you get to the Indy there when you're losing these games to NCHC teams, nor does it help the in-state bragging rights when, you know, you're too... We'd like to call them little brothers, but they're not really little brothers anymore or beating the crap out of you. I think Minnesota is now something like 1-12-1 in their last 14 games against Minnesota Duluth. That's not good. That shouldn't be happening. But here we are. So they need to bounce back and bounce back in a hurry. They play their Big Ten opener this weekend with Notre Dame coming to town. Notre Dame ranked 14th in the country. The Irish are going to be a tough team. Jeff Jackson always has their team prepared. They went out and got arguably the best goalie on the transfer portal this past offseason, getting Matthew Galata from Cornell, who was a two-time ECAC Player of the Year. So Minnesota's going to have to find some goals. I mean, only one goal against Duluth isn't going to cut it, and only one goal in their loss to St. Cloud ain't going to cut it. This team was supposed to be scoring goals. They seem to be a bit snake-bit at the moment. They're going to be down. One of their top defensemen, Mike Koster, got hurt in the Friday game against Duluth, didn't play Saturday, and it sounds like he's going to be out for a few weeks here with a shoulder, upper arm injury, something like that. So that's not great. They're going to have to bring somebody else in the lineup and try and fill that hole, and they're going to have to figure some things out now as we get back into Big Ten play. Notre Dame this weekend, and it doesn't get any easier as they have to head to Madison to face the Badgers next weekend.
So what I'm hearing from you is that Notre Dame has a goalie good enough that if Minnesota gives up an early goal, Notre Dame is just going to absolutely sit down and clog and not let anything go into the zone, basically.
Yeah, no, that is one of the keys that will be important this weekend is the Gophers need to get on top first because, yes, we do know that Notre Dame likes to play that just clog the middle zone trap, and admittedly, they would love to win a game 2-1. That would be, like, their ideal performance, especially as they're not the most highly scoring powered team in the country. So that's going to be the key is Gophers have to get on. They can't fall down early. LaFontaine can't give up a easy, cheap one early and they fall down 2-0 because it's going to be a brutal slog to try and get those goals back if Notre Dame has anything to say about it.
All right. Well, volleyball, not getting quite the weekend we hoped. But did grab a split, swept 3-0 over Indiana tonight, if I was paying attention correctly. Andy, you know, thoughts from the weekend for the volleyball team?
Yeah, admittedly, I only really saw the scores. I didn't get a chance to see any of the action. But, yeah, they posted 14th-ranked Penn State Friday night and got swept 3-0. From what I saw, they never really were in the match and just sort of played a stinker, which is something this team has a knack to do every once in a while. But they battled back and ended up knocking off number 6 Ohio State Sunday afternoon 3-1. Not a great weekend for Ohio State as they got beat up by Wisconsin on Friday night. So the Buckeyes came in at number 6 and dropped after this week getting swept by Minnesota and Wisconsin. The Gophers are ranked number 11 in the country this week. And yeah, they did head to Bloomington and got an easy 3-0 sweep over Indiana tonight. Stephanie Samity, 18 kills, now has over 1,800 kills for her career. But it's going to set up a huge game this weekend. Coming to town Saturday night, number 6, Nebraska. The Cornhuskers, who are actually, as we speak, playing Wisconsin in Madison. It's a battle for the top of the Big Ten. You know, Nebraska's 8-0 right now in conference. Wisconsin's 7-1. We'll see what happens in the match tonight. But if the Gophers want to try and keep pace, they got to find a way to beat the Cornhuskers Saturday night. It won't be easy. Beating Nebraska is always tough. But, you know, hopefully Minnesota plays more like they did against Ohio State than they do against Penn State. So,
predictions. It's prediction time. Street, I'm going to kick it to you to start. What do you have a crazy bet related to, like, how many times Pat Fitzgerald scratches his butt or something, or are we going to stick to, like, normal betting rules?
I predict that I will know more than 2 Northwestern players by the end of Saturday. That's my bet.
I'm not sure how to test that, I guess.
I mean, I think practically, as Blake mentioned, for the rest of us who actually listen to what other people say on this podcast, the actual bet would be over under 3 rushing touchdowns, and I will take the over from Minnesota.
Fair enough. Andy, what do you got?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we just got to sort of stick with the line. I'm trying to pull up the exact line as it is accurate right now. It's currently, wow, apparently it's bumped up to Minnesota 7.5. It started out, I believe, at Minnesota 4 earlier this week. So that is moving significantly. You know, I do like Minnesota to win pretty easily. I'm going to have to, you know, continue to stick with my power of 30 or 31, 34 last week. We were just a little high, but we're right in that ballpark, and that seems to be a pretty good average for this team. So with an over-under of only 43.5 and the Gophers favored by 7, I think you got to take the over, and I think you got to take Minnesota. I predict the Gophers will win this one 31-17.
All right, Blake, how about you?
Mine's not too far from that. I'd go Minnesota 30, Northwestern 13.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of a grinded out. Minnesota just puts the ball in a couple times in the second half to widen it. We'll go Minnesota 30, Northwestern 10. I don't think they're that good. Well, friends, I'm going to close this out with a reminder. Home Field Apparel, they rock. Homefieldapparel.com. Use code DAILYGOPHER at checkout. And in the meantime, go Gophers. Sky you ma. Row the boat.